For those that don't know me, my name is Lee Fletcher. I'm pastor over missions, and tonight, pastor has asked me to share with you guys about our trip. But before we go into that, we're going to do our tithings for tonight. If you guys don't have a devotion, I highly recommend this one for every day. As you can see, I have little tags on mine because I'm always looking for something, you know, on tithing. And so I was prepared when pastor said, I'm going to let you do tithes and offering and do the service tonight. So I was ready. So I'm going to share with you December the 5th, and it's going to tie up pretty much with missions. It says, it's coming out of John 4:35-38, and it's for the day of December the 5th. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. Part of sowing seed to reap our harvest is helping God reap his harvest. His harvest is souls. Proverbs 11:30 says, he who wins souls is wise. The word of God says to look on the fields. It's amazing how many people come to church and never look on the fields. They hear the songs, they listen to the message, they do the things people do in church, but they leave and never look on the fields. God wants us to look out for the needs of others. There are 4 children left on that tree out there. You know, God wants us to look for those needs of others. So hopefully tonight, before we leave, somebody has taken at least 1 child home to bless them, okay? Amen. Okay. It says here, when your stomach is full, don't forget that there are those who don't have sufficient food. When your home is comfortable, never forget that there is someone else who doesn't have a comfortable dwelling. And you will see that tonight as we show the slides on the mission trip, okay? Can we do everything for everyone? No. But God wants us to look for opportunities to do what we can. The church is always presenting us opportunities to put to practice what we're listening in the church, okay? Look for people who need Jesus. Look for those who will respond to the gospel. Live alert and don't live selfishly. Live with your eyes open. There's a need everywhere around us if we just choose to see. Look for opportunities where you can make a difference. One church or one person cannot respond to every need in the world today, even here in our own city. I can't respond to every need presented to me. But if we'll look, we can respond to those needs we do see. We then can happily do something about it. Behold, look on the fields. Look at the people you work with. Study the needs of the people's lives and then do what you can. Tell them about Jesus. You know, one of the things that that I really like to share when God shows me that person that I need to sow a seed in, you know, is I share with them that I'm just the hand of feet for God, you know, that God laid it on my heart, you know, and if they don't know Jesus, to introduce them to Jesus at that point and point it to him that he is our source, not man, you know, and if you have an opportunity to teach him about tithing, you know, it's a great way, you know, when you bless someone, if the Holy Spirit leads you not in that direction, okay? So we want to be to live a life alert. You want to bless others, but you want to be one, you know, that God sends and meets those needs. We want to do something on this earth. He can use me to be a blessing by sowing into others' lives. God will multiply back to your own. This is a time of giving, you know, and we give selfishly. We have an abundance in our life and in our homes, and it's a time, you know, to bring a smile to someone. You know, before I started coming to this church, before I knew anything about tithing, Pastor David was teaching on Malachi 3:10. And it says, you know, out of the Amplify, bring all the tithes, the whole tenth of your income, to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me. One of the other translations says, test me, by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Before I started tithing, you know, I heard that, and when I started coming here, my husband was not coming. And so I thought, you know, it says here to test him and prove him. And I had a desire to send my daughter to private school. And Pastor David did a teaching. He says, don't just throw your money in there. Name what you want your tithe to be. So, you know, I started because I thought when I was given that I was tithing. So I realized that I was not doing the whole tenth. And so, you know, your mind gets in the way and say, okay, we have so this many bills to pay. And, you know, I thought, you know, if I give that tenth, Lord, I'm going to come short. But you said, you know, to prove you. And you said in another scripture that you will supply all of my needs. So I thought, okay, Lord, I'm going to prove you. I mean, that was my intention, you know. I'm going to prove you, you know, and see if this works. So I started tithing and believing the Lord for my daughter to go to a private school. Like I said, my husband was not coming to church at that time. So right before, you know, it was time for her to make the move, you know, I took the steps, you know, filled out, you know, the application to be accepted, and she was accepted. So every month, you know, that her school note was due, you know, I would name my tithe, Father, I thank you that you are my provider and you will supply this monthly school note that I need for you to supply. I said, I am believing you. You told me to test you, and you told me another scripture to, you know, that you supply all of my needs. So I told the Lord, I said, here we go, Lord. Yeah, I'm trusting you. I'm relying on you. And, you know, my child went through high school, you know, with her note being paid. And she went through college with her note being paid, and she's still in college and her note is being paid. So the Lord is still supplying, you know, and she's debt free. You know, one of the things, you know, that this church teaches, you know, is that God, the only thing we need to do is love other people and don't know anybody anything else. You know, so we have that testimony, you know, that my daughter will have no debts behind her education. You know, and we're very grateful, you know, it's coming to church and applying what you hear and putting it to the test, Do what the word says and rely on him. And when those thoughts come, you know, just put them back to the word. God, you told me in this promise you gave me, you know, that you will provide every need. So to me, the tithe forces you to face, you know, to surrender your will into submission to the word of God. You know, it does, because I don't want to rely on a job. I want to rely on the word, and I want to rely on what God says. And if he tells me that he is my source, he is my source. You know, so tithe, if you're not a tither, you know, the non-tithing Christian is saying that they have the faith to trust God for eternal salvation, but not to put the 10% of their money to him. I don't want to do that. I want to be a Christian that tithe and does the complete word. There are promises in the word of God, you know, that they are for us, that we need to grab them and apply them in our daily life. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, we bless you tonight, Lord, hallelujah, Father God, that you are our source, Father God, and we thank you, Lord, for your promises, Father God, that every bill is paid in this house, Lord, hallelujah. Father God, this will be the best Christmas for all of us, Lord, hallelujah. Father God, that we will extend our hand to those in need, In the name of Jesus, Lord. And Father, we thank you, Father God, Lord, for the best gift that you've given us. It's our Lord and Savior, Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. One of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 37:4 out of the Amplified. And if you guys can turn there and hopefully they can get it up on the screen. It says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and the secret petitions of your heart. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, roll, repose each care of your load on him. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Commit, the word commit, to entrust, especially for safekeeping. When I was prepared for tonight, every time I was trying to figure out, okay, Lord, which scripture for tithing, which scripture to open up, you know, I kept coming back to Psalms, you know, 37:4, okay? And he kept saying, commit your way to the Lord. The commitment that you make to serve him, on your relationship with him on a daily basis, it is so important. So important for all of us. It is through that commitment in him, you know, that we grow and we learn on how to trust and rely on him every day for everything that we need in our daily life. Our children, you know, our finances, guidance, you know, in our marriage, guidance as a disciple, you know, every day in how we serve Jesus Christ. God knows that we have desires, and through him, they can all be fulfilled when we commit our ways unto him. He will bring it to pass, you know, if we are, when we are patient with him. A lot of the times, you know, we tend to want to get ahead of him, but there is a preparation time, you know, that takes place. You know, so God can see that we're going to be a good steward of what he's given us. I know, for instance, you know, with our tithing, especially for me, you know, it really has opened a lot of doors. And I have seen God just work miracles, you know, in our finances. And that by the same token, you know, it's going to take that same tithing and trusting him for the finances to come to missions also, you know, to be good stewards also. So while I was learning tithing in our home and putting my trust in him, you know, unbeknownst to me, he was also teaching me, you know, to start trusting him for the finances, you know, for missions. So one of the things that I was sharing with Pastor was that I want to come to that point that he is my source. I know other people, you know, are there, you know, to help us along the way. And what I want to do is that when people hear that there are missions, that they give out of their heart, you know that there is a need, that God is a limitless God, that, you know, he's not going to leave this country off because we go off and bring the good news to other people, but he's a limitless God and has plenty of resources for everybody. But as I was getting ready for this, I went to the scriptures and I was studying about Paul and actually reading about Paul and actually was interested in his second mission journey, okay? And if you turn to Acts 16:1, there are some just, I'm only gonna pull like three similarities out of here because I want Billy and Tracy to come up and share quickly with us, okay? But Acts 16:1 says, "Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium." One of the things when God opens those doors for us and he's ready to send us out, he will connect us with people that are so important, you know, during our journey. And when we were there, you know, we have a certain disciple, and his name is Roger. He is from Guatemala, and he was pastor's mouthpiece during the mission, you know. So there were some changes when we left here, and once we got to Nicaragua, you know, I was ready, prepared to be my pastor's mouthpiece. Not that I was not, okay? But when the Holy Spirit gives our pastor a different direction, we have to be prepared. And so that's what happened. I didn't know Roger was gonna be there. Pastor didn't know Roger. I had heard of Roger, but I had never interacted with Roger. Billy and Tracy did. But this is one of the things that happened. You know, there was that certain disciple there, and he was our pastor mouthpiece during the Crusades. I was used in other areas with our pastor during the Crusades. So a lot of you here tonight are coming to those classes with Pastor David on Thursday nights, you know, and he was saying on Thursday that if you're not being stretched, you need to come see your pastor. Come see your pastor, because he will stretch you to the max, okay? Sometimes some of us feel like he's throwing us under the bus, but he's really not, okay? Just being truthful, okay? But he was very an integral part of the mission trip down there. I learned a lot from him. You know, I know his preparation time for me. You know, I was his mouthpiece, you know, when we minister at the churches. And that we should look at verse 5. From our ministry and our crusades that we had, okay, there in Acts 16:5, it says, "So the churches were strengthened in their faith and increased in numbers daily." That's what the mission group did when we were down there with the three crusades that we had. It was the first time for our mission group to have crusades down there, and it was the first time for the people down there that guided us through this whole process, okay? There were plenty of salvations there, so we know that their churches will increase, okay? And also from that trip, okay, if you look at Acts 16, verse 4, "Now a certain woman named Lydia heard of us, so she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, 'If they have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' So she persuaded us." Lydia was the woman that heard the message being preached. Right before we left on our mission trip, there is a businessman that God had divinely connected me with him, and he started coming to our church. Right before we left on the mission trip, 6 o'clock in the morning on Friday morning, he comes knocking on my door to bless us with finances for the mission trip. You know, in some translations, it says that Lydia was actually one of the people that funded some of Paul's missionary trips. And that is my belief, that there's somebody out there, you know, that will fund the mission trips. So, you know, he did it this time, so, you know, I'm not going to expect any less. Instead of one businessman, I'm going to expect more businessmen to step up to the plate to bless the mission trips, okay? And those are some of the, you know, parallels for the Paul's second missionary trip with our second missionary trip. And the third one that I found in the scriptures was Acts 17, verse 13. One of the churches that we visited down there, this scripture came to mind. "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily and find out whether the things were so." When we were down there visiting one of the churches, We came to bless the church because we had an abundance of food that we had leftovers and some clothes. And so we took them to the church on Thursday night, and Lord and behold, they were having a life group meeting. And the pastor was teaching on faith, okay? So that scripture right there, you know, we came up and they blessed us, they prayed over us, and I was really encouraged. You know, they had there were maybe about 20 people there, ages from 25 to 50. He had a very nice group there, and like I said, teaching on faith, which is very important, you know, to all of us. And I was very encouraged to see that that body was being taught and that they had the small life groups. So just to encourage everybody, you know, it's, yes, we went down there and we blessed them. You know, when people are hungry, you cannot think straight. When people are hungry, they don't have the strength to work. But when you feed them, okay, they gain not only physical strength, but then there's also people there ministering the word to them and teaching them about faith. And that's what we all need, is to teach faith, move in faith, and believe, like Pastor was saying this morning, Jesus has done everything that he's going to do for us. You know, our job is to have faith and believe. Our job is to have faith when we pray, you know, and our job is to believe the promises that he has given us and to apply them every day of our life. I'm going to ask Billy and Tracy to come and speak, because I want you guys to know that there's a mighty army being raised up in this church, okay? And Billy and Tracy have been doing this, you know, for a while now. God connected us divinely. You know, we share the same thing. They're great organizers over missions. But we also discover on this trip that they can also minister, you guys. They kept it a secret from us all this time, okay? And it's one of those things, you know, that the Holy Spirit revealed to the pastor, and that's part of the changes that we had in our mission trip, okay? And some of them felt like they were thrown to the bus, but through them, many souls came to the kingdom of God. And so I want you to see the gift that they have that they've been concealing from all of us, okay? And I'm going to share the platform with them. So come on, guys.
Hello? All right, we're there. Good evening, everybody. Man, that light's bright. I'm going to say a little bit first, and I'm going to let Tracy finish up, and then Pastor Darren and Randy Allen want to get up and say just a couple of words. Our trip, as many of you, if you on Facebook, would know, it started out kind of bad. I smashed my finger at the airport, and it was pretty bad. We just wrapped it up. Pastor Andy gave me some first aid, and we prayed over it that it would be better when we got there, and it was. It's just that it was 14 hours before I got to a doctor. And at 32,000 feet, boy, that thing was throbbing, I'm telling you. But, hey, it's all good now, and they didn't put stitches in it, and it didn't hinder me much at all. I played the bass guitar like it wasn't even there. But Satan came against us. I mean, and you know when you're fixing to do something, you can just tell, because things will come against you. And right off the bat, well, before I hurt my finger, we were down to the wire on our finances. But, you know, we had faith they would make it, and sure enough, they did the week before we left. But we were unloading rice, and Marty hurt his back, and he hurt it good. I mean, it popped, and he was lame for a couple of days. We had to get past that. And the guys were cutting metal for the building, and the piece hit Randy in the leg. There's five stitches right there. If y'all saw that picture on Facebook, he had his leg propped up on a cardboard box. There's a big old puddle of blood under it, and there's some lady was sewing it up, you know. I mean, it's primitive. That place they took me had a single tube fluorescent light, And Tracy was over there shining the flashlight like this, and that poor little girl was cleaning it out, and it was so dark. It was dark in there. I thought, man, this is third world, you know. But it never fails. Our material to build the houses was 2 days late coming. It was supposed to have been there when we arrived, and I think we got it on Monday. And, you know, we found a lot for the houses, and the lot was like this. It was low, and it went up 5 feet, and it went back another 15 feet. It was just impossible. And there was a row of big banana trees that were about this big around. We didn't want to tear those down. And so we all gathered in the street out there, and we just prayed that God would give us a better lot, that we wouldn't have to deal with that, because it was impossible. I mean, I just, without a dozer, it was impossible. And lo and behold, we got another lot the next day. And we had asked for a really good lot. And that one was fairly good. It sloped down the back, but we got some guys to smooth it out. I think we gave them $20. They had a shovel and a 5-gallon bucket. And, man, they smoothed it out. It was ready to go. And so we started building that next day. We were setting record time, record pace. We had the corners up, had the roof on, and all the paneling on one side. And some guy came up and said, hey, we got a problem here. And we're like, what kind of problem? Well, the deed wasn't handled right, and somebody else owned that property. So we had to tear the house down and move it to another place about half a mile away. But when we got to that place, that lot was perfect. It had a fence. It had a concrete center block wall in the back for this young girl with her 5-year-old son. It was in a better part of the village. The little church is right down the street, like 4 houses down. And you know what? It all turns out. It always does. And so we were starting our crusade on that Wednesday. And we didn't have time to do the work, so we hired 2 more guys in the neighborhood to help. And those guys will work for $20 a day. But they got that house built in one day. And we got right back on our schedule, which was to have the dedication of that house on Wednesday night. No, it was Tuesday night, wasn't it? We started the crusade on Wednesday. We finished it on Tuesday. And everything got right back on track. And it was quite a blessing. But we did. The crusades were really good. And I got to go out on a limb and preach at one of them. And everybody's laughing. Because I'm telling you,
solo.
I had told everybody, we have a Bible study every night, a little devotion, and I had told everybody either the night before or the night before that with all the stuff that I had seen, that if the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, you don't need to withhold. I mean, you need to go ahead and do it. It don't matter how crazy it is. That's the place that you want to do it. And he told me to sing, and I forgot the song now. Was it? I have decided to follow Jesus. That's what it was. And so, you know, and I made a note of it. I was going to sing that a cappella, and then I was going to have, NG. I have it. Okay. And so anyway, so I got to the end of my deal, did my altar call and all that, and had some people raise their hands, and we prayed, and I said, okay, I was supposed to have my music guys come up behind me. Well, I turned around and looked, and there wasn't nobody there but Marty. And I was like, oh, man, where'd everybody go? And so I just started singing, you know. And I sang it through one time. And I don't know if people didn't leave, so. I was baiting it for somebody. Maybe somebody this week down there, you know, I don't know. But I was told to do that. And I said, I cannot not do what I just got through telling everybody. Don't balk on the Holy Spirit when he tells you to do something. You got to go ahead and do it. And, boy, that was a first.
Yeah, when you were singing, that drunk guy got delivered and saved.
That's true. There was a guy that staggered up. And what they did, they blocked the street with 2 vans. So we had the whole street out there in front of a church. And there was some guy out there, Lee, you were ministering to him, right? Some guy come up there slobbering drunk, you know. And Roy was holding him up. It was funny. I tell you what, though, people ask, why do we go down there? You know, there's people here. We could minister to plenty of people here in Minden, but all I'm going to tell you is the reason we go is you'll just have to go down there one time, and then you can answer that question for yourself, because I'm not going to answer it. I'm not going to try to. I've been down there 6 or 7 times, and it's just you just have to go. You need to try to start putting some money back so you can buy you a plane ticket and go, because it's something that you'll never forget. And that's just the most fertile ground there is. I'm telling you, we sowed many a seed down there, and we may not have had but over 100 salvations, but I guarantee you, we sowed some good ground down there. And it may not take but just a little nudge, and there are probably hands up there down there tonight, you know. So that's all I'm gonna say. You go ahead.
Okay. Well, for those of you that don't know me, my job here in the United States is a nurse. And so I spent the majority of my trip at the clinic. Just so I missed a lot of stuff. it was an amazing trip. They always are. And I think I get a lot out of, we've been so many times, and not only do I still enjoy and love, that's where my heart is in Nicaragua, but I also get to see the team members that go with us, them become bold and go out and do something amazing, you know. And, you know, this year was, you know, the same. I mean, it happened again, you know, it always does. God shows up and things are on, you know. And I do want to mention, because I don't think he touched on it much, the Saturday before we left, we were packing. And we still lacked $4,000. And Pastor Darren said, let's pray. So we all gathered together and prayed about it. And Sunday morning, praise God. God is good. We got all of our money for our trip. And so, you know, with that, I just want to say it doesn't matter. I mean, it does. Don't get me wrong. It does matter who gave that. But I don't want to belittle anybody else that gave a dollar, you know, or just prayed for us. I want to thank anybody that did anything on this trip. Our cell groups did cell bags, and they were little bags that had all kind of stuff in it for the community. And so I just want to thank y'all, because y'all were all a part of whatever went on there. That was y'all got all the credit for that too. Do you want to?
He's going to finish the song I started.
Billy to sing back behind me while I'm doing this. Yeah, you understand. While we were there, we went to a school. But first off, I want to thank Pastor Andy for allowing me to go, and for you guys for encouraging me to go, and for Claire and I to both go. It was really life-changing. We went to a school while we were there, and they told us, they said, we want y'all to come into this school and pray for these kids, okay? We can't do this in the States. So we go in there, and there's about 600-plus kids in this school. Oh, let me tell you about the cafeteria first. Cafeteria was incredible, y'all. I'm serious. We walked up. You could smell this food cooking. And I'm like, where is a cafeteria, you know? I'm used to cafeteria ladies with little hair nets and stuff on their head, you know, all this stuff. We go back there, and there's this big open shed outside. There's a fire blazing. There's a stove, and the stove was, like, made out of brick, had two big old holes in it, had pots like this. The lady, she's, like, dumping 5-gallon bucket of water in this pot with chopped up onions and stuff. The cafeteria lady. Wasn't no hair net. Kids were hauling firewood in, throwing in this thing, okay? It's blazing the cafeteria, okay? And it smelled good. I didn't get to eat any of it. We were hungry about then. But anyway, we go into this school, and they say there's like 600-plus kids, so we want to pray. So in my mind, I'm like, well, we're going to go in there, and Pastor Andy's going to, they're going to have a assembly, and we're going to pray for, and he's going to pray for these kids, 600. No. They gave us oil to anoint these kids. We lined up, and they came to us, and we laid hands on each one of those kids and prayed for each one of those kids. What it was is they wanted us to pray for safety for the kids, because they were fixing to, it was their last day of school, and they were fixing to get out, and, you know, there's not any traffic lights, and there's no school cross guards, or school buses for these kids to get home or anything else like that. And so, and the people, let me tell you something. Mario Andretti couldn't have kept up with these drivers in this place. So it's pretty wild. The traffic's pretty wild, and there's the safety factor for the kids that comes into play, okay? And so they had lost some kids, and I think they said it was because of accidents, you know, kids getting run over and stuff like that. So we had the opportunity to lay hands on 600 kids to pray for their safety and to just pray over them. And it didn't just stop there, because there were kids that were coming up, and the Spirit of God just tell you, you know, there's something here. And that was pretty incredible. It was really incredible. And if you get a chance to go, please go. And it'll change your life. And especially in Central America, because, man, the food is incredible, dude. Okay, I'm in a third world country, and I'm having to go back to Louisiana to lose weight. Something's wrong there, man. Okay, thank y'all.
I want to thank everybody here. Pastor, thank you. And all of the staff for allowing us to go. It was a life-changing experience for Sherry and I both. We're so glad that we had the opportunity and so glad that we went. And we saw so many miracles that happened during the week that normally we don't see here in the United States, but they can happen here and they will happen here because there's an army rising up. Amen. And Pastor Darren touched on the praying for the kids in the school, and that was really one of the highlights that we had during that time. And like I say, several miracles, people that got delivered from alcoholism, people that got saved. You know, when a man gets delivered from alcoholism, from being drunk, and Billy Walker is singing No Turning Back at the same time, that's a miracle. just seeing the culture, you know, and it is kind of a, if you live in your own little shell where we're at here, it'll be a culture shock to see the conditions that they have down there. But even the ones that have so little, they can have a smile on their face and they can be thankful. And they are thankful when you come and just give them a piece of candy or just give them a hug. They're so very thankful that you've come to love them, to love on them. And so if you get that opportunity, I would suggest anyone, and especially husbands, if you go, take your wives with you. Wives, take your husbands, because it'll be good for the both of you. You'll both have a wonderful experience, and you'll grow in Christ. And yes, it was... going down, up and down the roads was kind of an experience at times, but we had a good time, and it wasn't just a sightseeing trip. We saw a lot of good sights, but the thing was we were able to touch people's lives. And one of the things that really touched my heart a lot was we had one of our crew that had never spoken before, speak to our men one night, and he was pretty nervous about it. You know, if he'd have had an opportunity to get out of it, he might have taken that opportunity. But we just kept talking to him, building him up, encouraging him. And when he got up to speak, chills were going up and down my back. And I could tell that the Holy Ghost was working. And four men got saved that day. And so he was obedient to what God wanted him to do, and it paid off, and the results came. Again, I thank you, each and every one of you. If you put one penny in the offering, if you just prayed, you have a part in this, and your reward is great. And I thank you again for that opportunity.
I want to say one more thing, just so everybody gets an idea of exactly what we did. We built the house. We got the house finished. We passed out food to about 250 families. We had three crusades, one at a soccer field, one at a church in a rural area about 20 miles south of where we were staying. The other one was in town, and we also went to that their cell group meeting that night, and we played music that night there. And we really got a lot accomplished. We got more done than I've ever would have ever imagined that we could have got done. Everything that we said we were going to do, we did it. And the Holy Spirit's to be commended for that, and the people that helped too, also. But amen. It was just a great trip, you know.
Thank you, Father. Anybody else who was on the trip with us? Anybody out here? Come on, you guys. Why don't you stand up here really quick? Glory to God. Marty, hallelujah. There's a couple of things that I was believing God for, to be honest with you, when I got there with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, be pastor of your team. I was praying over them, being, you know, protection, right? We were trying to cover them, but he said, be pastor of your team. Because I was wanting to minister and get out on an open crusade, and I was wanting to watch all these people get saved and, you know, healed and delivered, and the Holy Spirit kept telling me to take care of your team. The shepherd will watch over his sheep, right? The amazing part about it is, as I was, you know, doing what the Holy Spirit instructed me to do over the team was just doing exactly what the Holy Ghost had told them to do. See, if we just do our part, it's nothing, it's just do our part. So I'm lifting them up, praying over them, you know, and the Holy Spirit is just rearranging things constantly, right? We get to the first open crusade, and I want to say this to you. This was one of the things I was believing God for. When I got down there and went to talking to them, they've been coming and building houses and giving food to the poor, been doing it for years. But we were the first church to have an open crusade outside the compounds of the church. We were the first church to go outside into churches in the community and have church outside on the street. I said, like, it'd be like, the only difference is, you know, we have all this freedom. In other words, you couldn't just pull chairs up out there on that street. We're just pulling chairs up on the street. We got praise and worship. They put it out at the edge of the street. Next thing you know, crowds started gathering up, just showing up because of praise and worship and because of the anointing outside the church in front of people. And here they come. And the amazing part about it is what I was believing God for, God took care of. We were the first church through this organization, which is a great organization. They actually give you a base camp to operate out of. What I was believing for, the team would go down and win souls to Christ, have an open crusade, affect some pastors, right? You can say all you want to, you know, pastors this, pastor that, right? But it's nothing like having your faith answered from somewhere way beyond what you could even comprehend or imagine. You know, a lot of times when I'm believing God for something, I kind of put myself in this box of a community. But if God wants to get you something, he can send somebody all the way from Nicaragua to here, or from here to Nicaragua to get you something, or from Africa to here, or here to Africa. Do you understand? He understands. He's a high tower of the whole world. So to him, nothing's impossible. And what it did was take limitations of your pastor's vision and faith that nothing's impossible with my God. And if he has to come all the way across the face of the earth to get somebody to us, to get what we're believing God for, he'll do it. Why? Because we just sowed those kinds of seed. Right? Amazing part, Pastor Lee talked about it a little bit. The pastor is preaching Mark 11:22-24. I mean, he is preaching. We walked in, and next thing you know, we're giving them access of what we had and was not able to distribute it. And the church just loved us. They pulled us all together and prayed over us and empowered us. And, you know, and so what I'm believing is, here's what I'm believing. The Holy Spirit has laid Central America on my heart. You know, I could go into details about it years ago, but as a soldier, an 18, 19-year-old boy, I made two trips into Panama and had people from Honduras come to the United States and us back, trying to train him and get them ready to defend themselves in the early 80s, late 70s. But I fell in love with the people. Their kids were amazing, right? Pastors falling in love with Africa. Children amazing. People amazing. So what you get the benefit of is a church. You're going to have the opportunity, because missions, we're just in our second year for our church. As long as I've been in this church, they've had mission trips, but we haven't had a missions ministry. We do now. We're in our second year. We're believing for 2 trips a year for years to come. We may even get to 3 trips a year. But the amazing part is you're going to have the ability to seed and believe God for what you want to do in the missions. Right? We're looking at late April, early May. We're fixing to make a trip for 10 to 14 days to Africa. You ever wanted to go to Africa? Here's your shot. Another thing is, in September, we're heading to Honduras this year for the first time. And so in the aspect of all of it is kind of your choice of where you want to go, your choice where the Holy Ghost is telling you to go, and then the choice of the mammon or the finances you're believing God for. Africa costs you about 3 times more as it would in Central America. But it's a place that I think everyone ought to go at least once. Some of the most beautiful stuff you ever seen in your life. Victoria Falls was amazing. Right? And then when I get to Central America, I'm sitting on top of a volcano. And y'all know the story. I'm on horseback. But I also got to get to the Pacific Ocean and watch the sunset. It was incredible. So while you go on these missions trips and watch taxing, while you pack the bags, load the clothes, we even got furniture for one of the houses that caught on fire. While you build the houses, all those things are nothing but us bait of giving unto God so we'll have a base to minister from. If they know that you love them and concern for them and you're doing something for them, they're more apt to receive what you're speaking into their life. You're not going to be able to speak into people until they first know that you care. And when they know you love them and you care about them, you're going to get a door of utterance to be able to speak into their lives. So us building that house, it's just us loving on them. Us giving to them, it's just us loving on them. Why? Because we're believing for the power of the Word of God in their life to change them. We know that food probably won't feed them but a month. And it's huge to them, though. And it's a huge blessing to them. But I know that if they get the Word of God will change their life where they won't have to be dependent on somebody to come from all over the world to give them food once a month. That they'll be dependent on God. And there is a movement where I was at this year in Nicaragua in the things of God. What it made me realize is God is on the move. It's huge, right? And on top of that, we made relationships in this trip that probably is going to end up affecting Central America and how we minister and what the missions out of our church is going to end up doing. She kind of alluded to Roger a little bit. What Pastor Lee doesn't tell you is I only ministered outside of the church just for a short few minutes, and the Holy Ghost told me before the service, just tell them about the goodness of God and the love of God, and then hand it over to Tracy. So I walked up to Tracy right before we're going to do open crusade, right? I said, you bring your stuff for your children's ministry? Are you ready? Like, she didn't know whether to answer that with truth or not, you know. She goes, yes. I said, good. You're going to close out the service because 75 or 80% of everybody here are children. And you're my children's minister for this trip. So, be anointed, be graced, have fun. Turn walked off. She did great. Probably in the 20s got saved. Children. 3 or 4 adult ladies. When Randy talked about the 4 adult males, which was huge. Because at that church service, Pastor Darren ministered that night. And an anointed word from God. Man can teach. So what's amazing about it is prior to them getting to that service that night, we had separated the ladies, the men, and the children. And each one of us were ministering individually. So 4 men get saved. I think 3 or 4 women get saved, or 2 or 3 women get saved. But there's like 60 or 70 kids or something that get saved. Out of 100 and, you know, 20 or 30 kids, right, 60 or 70 of them get saved. So Pastor Darren has the honor of going up now, and he's going to get the chance to minister to about 80 or 90 brand-new converts in the Word of God just born again, right? The pastor's beaming from ear to ear because the team blessed him also. You put $100 in one of those pastors' hands, it's like, wow. You know, he just floored him. See, what I'm saying that for a reason is you sowed into this ministry. The mammon, the things we were looking for was areas for good ground to give into. These men were preaching faith. They were working their church, you know, and we sowed into a couple of pastors over there. We sowed into their church. We believe in God for their church. But it was just absolutely fun. Tired, wore out, but fun. And I had a blast watching everybody. And what I want to tell you is, if you've ever wanted to go on a mission trip, you know, you see the children, you've never been on one, you're going to get a personal day too. And what's amazing about it is the personal days I've had on both my mission trips for Africa and Nicaragua, it's like God saying thank you. I'm serious. It's like, I told everybody when we went out to the sunset, I had one of the guys look at me and said, Pastor, I've watched the sunset many a time on the Pacific Ocean. I've seen it a bunch. Really. What? November, no, it was December. No, it was November the 13th, wasn't it? 14th? What day was that? 29th. November the 29th. The sunset in Nicaragua on the Pacific Ocean with a handset painted clouds and sunset that will never, ever be duplicated again, ever. All up and down the whole west coast of the United States, somebody was looking at that same sunset, but they were not seeing it from where we were seeing it. Clouds split the sun in half. Just absolutely beautiful. And we just watched it sink. And I remember, you know, I'm working on my Spanish. And I hollered, Buenas noches, Dios. Good evening, God. It's like he was telling me good night. And it was absolutely beautiful. The volcano and the horseback and the scenery was absolutely beautiful. The children were absolutely beautiful. The trip was absolutely beautiful. The salvations were just amazing. So if you ever get a chance and you want to be a part of something, you can just come build a building. You can just throw rice bags. You can just throw bean bags. You can just load them. You can just give mammon. But if you did any of those things, you're part of several salvations, hundreds of salvations this past trip, in a new movement for our church into Central America. I believe in a divine connection with Roger and his wife, Annabella. I'm believing that he's going to be a translator into Honduras for us. I've already told Pastor Lee to give him a personal invitation to come speak for us. Glory to God. Pastor Lee had me everywhere except for the events or at the church, right? And I actually had more fun with Pastor Lee because we were hands-on first-line defense. Hallelujah. She didn't talk too much about it, but one of the greatest days we had was the bus driver had been driving us around for 2 or 3 days at that time, maybe 4 days. Accepts Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And we knew what was happening. He couldn't speak a lick of English. I mean, in Spanish. It's like a silence come over the bus, and we all started looking at each other like, he's being led to the Lord. He's fixing to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they finished, and I leaned over at Lee, and I said, he just accepted Christ, didn't he? She's grinning from ear to ear, and she says, yes. But the whole bus knew what was taking place. It was amazing. Right? So, as your pastor of the church, you know, I'm going to get better at being your pastor because of grace and because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Right? But if you get a chance to go on a missions trip, go. If you want to, if it's part of your desire and your heart to do something like that, it will be a blast. Right? So, here's what I want to do tonight. I want to close out right now. I'm not going to, you know, have the praise and worship team come up or anything else like that. But I'm going to read a scripture to you, and here's what I'm going to believe, because I watched this team operate in the anointing of God that was on them. And the Holy Spirit told me tonight, allow them the opportunity to minister to your church. So Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Amazing part about that, we get in the scripture where he says he was bruised for our iniquities. So what he's talking about is to set you free from iniquities in your life from generation to generation. It talks about to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What is that? Everything being restored back unto you. He's quoting Isaiah 61. Right, and I'm going to read it to you because Isaiah goes in a little more details of it. But here's what I believe. We're not going to close in music. I'm going to read this scripture. I'm going to believe this team is anointed by the Holy Spirit. They're graced. And if you feel impressed to have one of them pray over you or lay their hands on you to pray over you over any of these categories or any of these, there's an anointing and a power of God that's going to be available through the Spirit of the Lord to do what it is you're expecting Him to do. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison of them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and draw or the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." In other words, the anointing for them through the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come on them to do exactly what this said, what to plant you as righteousness. And he said the planting of it is glorious unto God. Any of those categories, you just feeling heavy, tired, brokenhearted, wounded, wore out, and you want to put a draw on the Spirit of God, not on this team, the Spirit of the Lord, would y'all rise to your feet and come down if that's you? Hallelujah. Anybody? Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. If you just saw the things that happened in Nicaragua, you'd probably be running up here. Hallelujah. Glory, I'm going to give it a minute. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your presence and your spirit. Father, we thank you for your love, which never fails. Father, we thank you your love is long-suffering and patient and kind, always believing in us, always hoping in us. Father, we thank you for being a loving God. Father, I thank you most of all for your spirit that ministers to us joy and gladness. We can go through these holidays not being heavy or mournful, not being brokenhearted, not being blind, not being bound, and not being captive. Why? Because your spirit, because of your spirit of love, Father, which always causes us to be successful and to achieve, which always causes us to be the head and not the tail, which always gives us the victory and always causes us to triumph. We are more than conquerors in your love. So, Father, we give you all the praise and glory and honor for it. For these holidays will be the best that we've ever seen. I pronounce blessings over everyone here. I pronounce peace. I declare peace and joy in their homes. I declare, Father, that in their house and in their home there'll be love like there's never been.